Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Beware of hypocrisy. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and there is nothing hidden that will not be made known. And therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark, it will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, it will be proclaimed on the housetops." This is a passage that Jesus spoke to his disciples, first of all. Now, I would say most of us here would claim to be followers of Jesus. So it's a very relevant topic for us to be aware of. Hypocrisy. Originally, what they called the hypocrites, they were the actors of the day, the people from Hollywood, who would go and they would play a role in a play and so on, and they would perform in a role of a certain person that they were not, for entertainment. And Jesus, knowing the times and knowing how they loved entertainment and plays and movies and all that, which is what we really love now, it's role playing. And Jesus talked about the hypocrites, and he talked to his disciples about it first of all. And everyone knew that a hypocrite was a pretender. A verse comes to mind. It says, "The haters of the Lord pretend obedience to him, and their punishment is forever." Let me say it again. The haters of the Lord, they pretend submission to him, but their punishment will be forever. Hypocrisy is pretending to be someone that you're not. It's like an actor. They have a certain lifestyle that they live when they're at home and with their friends and so on. But then when they go to perform in the screens and when they go to the playhouse, there's someone totally different. And it's a big deal because a lot of Christians today are pretending to be someone that they're not when they come to the church. And God can't work with such people, because such people will never repent. Because outwardly, they're looking very put together. But Jesus looks at the heart. And Jesus was bearing down on the Pharisees because his biggest problem with them was hypocrisy. He says, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, it's hypocrisy." Now, the Pharisees were very religious. Outwardly, they kept many commandments and many rules, many forms of godliness, but they didn't have the power. And we believers, even many of us in Christendom, have an outward form of godliness, but no power. And this is something that Jesus was speaking to his disciples about, because it's a deception. And I know some of us have been genuinely born again, but other of us have not. But either way, even those of us who have been genuinely born again have got caught up sometimes into something, but then we don't want it to be found out, and so we cover it up in the darkness, and we don't want to bring it to the light. That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. And then someone will preach about it, or someone will confront someone about it, or Jesus himself will put his finger on it, as he did with the Pharisees, and there is a denial of doing any wrong or any sinning. That's called lying. And when we deny either the conviction of the Holy Spirit, or when someone confronts someone on sin, or when we pretend to be something that we're not, we make ourselves out to be liars. Now, the Word of God is very clear about lying. It says that all who practice lies will find themselves in a lake that burns with fire. Hypocrisy is equal with lying. You say that's fairly severe. Well, the haters of the Lord pretend submission to Him, but their punishment is forever. It is severe. Let love be without hypocrisy. Our love toward the Lord must be without hypocrisy. Better for us to acknowledge our condition and cry out for mercy and grace to help in time of need than to pretend it's all good. For when we pretend that everything is good, who are we pleasing? Not God, but men. We are only appearing to be righteous before men because God already sees the heart. He already sees the things that are done in secret. He knows them, and He's able to bring them to the light. Now, why would He bring some sins to the light? Because He can give His grace only to the humble. And if we will not humble ourselves because of our pride and our hypocrisy, then He'll love us enough to expose us, even if it blasphemes His name, so to speak, for our own salvation's sake. Because ultimately, we need to be exposed anyhow, that we're not walking in the light as He is in the light, and that we no longer have fellowship one with another. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is like yeast. You put some yeast into some dough and you mix it. And then my grandmother used to make bread or buns. My wife does sometimes. And it rises. And once you get the yeast into the dough, how can it be unleavened? How can you all of a sudden spill some yeast in the dough and quickly try to pull it out? How can you get it out once it's in? It's impossible. We need a miracle. We need Jesus to deal with the hypocrisy. We need to humble ourselves and confess our hypocrisy. Hypocrisy's root is pride. We don't want to look bad before our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our friends, our relatives, our bosses. Who cares what Jesus thinks? Because He already sees it anyways. The root of it is pride. God's not impressed. Love must be without hypocrisy. And we need to be careful that we don't allow this hypocrisy to seep into our hearts, because pretty soon we will become whitewashed tombs. Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Outwardly, they had their robes and their tassels. Outwardly, they made long prayers. Outwardly, they kept feasts and fastings. Outwardly, they gave money. They tithed and cumin and mint and all sort of things, but they never had the very essence of what was needed. Go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Go learn what this means. I desire compassion. And they lacked the mercy and compassion at the appropriate times with sinful people to show them the kindness of the Lord, which would ultimately lead them to repentance. Did you know that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance? I think of times when I was on a bad path. And I justified myself. I don't have anything specific in my mind right now, but... And the Lord got my attention. And it was like the fear of the Lord kicked in, and I realized that I was in a bad way, and the end result was death. And I was so thankful that the Lord stopped me in my tracks, and He loved me enough to stop me rather than letting me go headlong into deception and death. And I said, Lord, it's Your kindness. It's Your kindness that leads me to repentance. Love confronts. And the Holy Spirit speaks to issues in our lives. Because He loves us. And He wants us to humble ourselves and get right. So that He can bless us. If you have a rebellious son, would you just continue to spoil him and give him everything that his heart would wish to try to woo him back to Christ? Or would you discipline him as seems best to you? Because the Word of God says the Lord disciplines them that He loves, and He chastens every son or daughter whom He receives. There's a right way in which we need to understand the kindness of the Lord. I think of David. It says, it is good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep Your word. It was the Lord's kindness that brought affliction into David's life. And he saw the Lord's kindness in it. Sometimes for some of us, it's the news of a terrible tragedy that gives us a wake-up call. Sometimes it's an illness that can come into our life, or an infirmity that the Lord allows for a season, or some oppression that He allows when we're on in a bad way to wake us up to say, why have I lost my peace? Where is my joy? Where has my first love gone? So that He can lead us to repentance. He says in verse 2, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. All the secrets that we possess in our hearts and in our lives, God sees them all. And sometimes He allows those secrets to be exposed to others because we seem to be more ashamed when someone else finds out what we're doing rather than what the Lord Himself cares. And that's a shame unto us. Because God didn't send us here to impress men. He sent us here to love Him and to serve Him and to be obedient to Him. So that it's most important what Jesus thinks and what our Heavenly Father thinks and how we need to be honest and sincere with Him. Matters not what anyone else thinks. It's good to have a good reputation with those on the outside, but that can only come out of a good reputation with someone who is your Heavenly Father in heaven. I think of Jesus when He came to be baptized, before He began any ministry, and John recognized that he should be baptized by Jesus. But Jesus said, let it be this way now. And when the dove came down from heaven after He was coming out of the water, and then there was a voice that came from heaven that said this, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Before He has done any ministry that's reported here in the Scriptures, His Father is well pleased with Him. And I think that should be each one of our testimonies, that God is very well pleased with us because we are being careful in our secret lives not to sin against Him. Who cares what I think? Who cares what anyone else thinks? What matters is what Jesus thinks. And if we know that we're practicing sin, and we know that we're in rebellion, and we're practicing hypocrisy, then we have a bigger problem than what people think. Now I'd like to turn to John 3 and verse 16. That familiar verse that we see quoted on billboards, most famous scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, that's Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I want to go a little further to say this, that believing in Jesus is everything to do with pleasing Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my word. This has everything to do with loving Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And you will be loved by my Father. And we will come and make our home inside of you. And we will dwell with you. We won't leave you as orphans. And I believe this is the promise of a coming Holy Spirit for those disciples. That which they received at Pentecost, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Father and the Son empowering them so that they could live this life, the same power that you and I have access to through the same Spirit, through the same Lord Jesus. We've entered into a new covenant, a better covenant, based on better promises, no longer about do's and don'ts, but being led by the Spirit of God and the power of a new life. Of a changed life. This is what we receive in the coming of the Father and the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is possible for all of us now under new covenant. We can be born again through the Word of God, and we can receive a genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not a counterfeit, a genuine. There is a genuine. And the devil's doing a fantastic job counterfeiting it. Everything God has, Satan is counterfeiting. Everything that is valuable, men counterfeit. Satan's no different. Everything that is valuable to God is trying to be counterfeited by the devil. For God did not send His Son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, brethren. He didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the Pharisees of their hypocrisy. He came to expose their hypocrisy, that they might repent. It was His kindness towards them. I believe Jesus loved the Pharisees just as much as He loved His disciples. In this sense, He wishes none to perish. I believe He loved Judas just as much as He did the rest of the disciples. In this, He wishes none to perish, but that all should come to repentance. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, my brethren. He did not. He sent His Son into the world that they might be saved through Him. That the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Jesus is not condemned. Believing in Jesus means putting your trust in Him. It means when things are going difficult and you don't know what to do and you cling to the Word of God, as my brother shared. And even though you don't see things going the way that you want them to go, yet you trust in Jesus because it's impossible for God to lie. For the Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. It's impossible for Him to lie. And so He says this, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned. But he who does not believe in Jesus is condemned already because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there are people who have condemnation in this world. That means their consciences are not clear before God. And there are people who have no condemnation in this world, whose consciences are clear before God. The condemned and the uncondemned. And the deciding factor is the person of Jesus Christ. And the only way to Him is through the cross. It's the only way to come to Him. We have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. What does that mean, pick up our cross? Today we're talking about hypocrisy. You say, Lord, there's this one area, there's this 10 areas, there's my whole life. I'm a hypocrite. Full stop. Lord Jesus, change me. I can't do it. I surrender myself to you. There, that's the cross. I can't do this. One sin, your whole life, whatever it is, I can't do this. Lord Jesus, I call on your name. For the scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, they shall be saved. Whenever we get in a situation that we can't deal with, and it should be often, brethren, we should always be going to Jesus, because the more and more we realize that I can do nothing of myself, only as we see what Jesus has done, our forerunner, then and only then can we receive the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in a way that is pleasing to Him. We can't do it. That's why Jesus came. That's why He sent the Helper. He wouldn't leave us as orphans, because He made a provision for us. What is impossible with man is possible with God. How can a rich man enter the kingdom? The disciples said, who can be saved? What's impossible with man is possible with God. How can a rich man go through an eye of a needle like a camel going through the eye of a needle? And I heard a wise preacher once tell me, all wind can pass through the eye of a needle. So everyone who's born of the Spirit can pass through the eye. Doesn't matter if it's as big as a certain size gate or if it's as small as a tiny pin. What matters is it's impossible with man, but not with God. Therefore, we must be born again. We must be born of the Spirit. That's what we need. So we see that there are those who believe in Him, they're not condemned. They have a clear conscience. There's others who don't believe in Him. They lack faith. Many people who say they believe in Him, they actually don't believe in Him because they deny Him by their actions, from Titus 2:11. They profess to know God, but by actions they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified, they're reprobates. I've been one, I know. But the hope is that we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to deny Him by our actions. No, we can come to Him. We can come to Him to be free. Jesus wants us to come to Him to be free. Some people I've known, they have eating disorders. They can come to Him to be free. Other people are slaves of sin in one way or another. I've been slave of sin in many ways. We can come to Him to be free. Jesus is able to set us all free. Yet there were some who wouldn't come to Him to be free. They were Jews who believed on His name, from John 8. And they had another way. It was in their traditions. We have Abraham as our father. And Jesus said, a slave doesn't abide in a house forever, but a son. Jesus said, come to me to be free. Oh, and they got hostile. We be not born of fornication. We do the works of our father. Jesus said, your father is the devil. You seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth. And they didn't understand that. What do you mean? I'll tell you what he meant. He says, you seek to kill me, a man who's told me you the truth, because my word has no place in your hearts. You don't love my word. And so when I tell you to come to me to be free, I'm saying, come to my word. Let my word shine its light into your heart. Expose your hypocrisy. Expose your bondage. So that you call out to Jesus for help. Let my word convict you of sin. So that you be not condemned. Because I came, Jesus said, not to condemn anyone. You have that which condemns you. Your conscience. Now it says in 19, this is the condemnation, brethren. That light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Brethren, men love darkness instead of light. And that's why they have a conscience that's condemned. Because they're practicing evil and they won't come to the Word of God. Because if they come to the Word of God, then they have to lay down their sin. And they love their sin and they want to go to hell with their sin. And they want to go and burn and burn and burn. Think of any rational-minded person that wouldn't want to lay their life down. Just for that fact alone, to be separated from God. No, brethren, this is the condemnation, that lights come into the world and men love darkness. They love their sin and they continue a lifestyle of hypocrisy because their deeds are evil. Everyone who practices evil hates the light. Let's be clear about one thing. If you're practicing evil, you hate Jesus. The haters of the Lord pretend obedience to Him and their punishment is forever. You hate the Lord. And that's why you don't have a clear conscience. And that's why you don't come to the light, lest your deeds be exposed, and you don't have fellowship with Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, doesn't cleanse you from any sin. And therefore, prayers fall to the ground. And it's called a form of godliness without any power. Let's look in Timothy at that scripture. It's good that I was afflicted. It's good that the Holy Ghost was bearing down on us. Before we were afflicted, brethren, we went astray, led away in various lusts and passions, and abominable drinking parties and idolatries. Yet now, He's gotten our attention. Praise God. He's gotten our attention. If we look in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, rather chapter 3 verse 1, we'll start there. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. This is how you know that you're living for the world. You love self. Self rules, self reigns, and everything is done for the pleasure of self. You need to repent. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. The second characteristic is they need money. And they love money. They love self and they love money, and they're boasters and they're proud. They're blasphemers and they're disobedient to parents. They're unthankful and they are unholy. They're unloving and they're unforgiving. They're slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good things. They are traitors. They are headstrong and they are haughty. They are lovers of pleasure and they are lovers of pleasure rather than being lovers of God. And verse 5, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the Bible says this, from such people, turn away from them. When we are Christians who embrace hypocrisy, we live under hypocrisy to look like we're righteous when we're really worldly or living for fleshly lusts. Rather than being honest, we lie against the truth. Brethren, we have a form of godliness and we deny the power thereof. And Jesus says, you want to know something? You stay away from Christians like that. They're dangerous. The most dangerous breed. Hypocrites. I know, I've been one. But my desire is not to be one. We need to be honest about where we're at. We need to be genuine. Genuinely looking to the Lord to change us, continually moving towards becoming more Christ-centered, becoming more Christ-like. That happens with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now it says in verse 6, for of this sort are those who creep into households. We heard last Sunday night of Zach talking about certain ones who creep into households or into fellowships. There are sort who creep into households and who take captive gullible women who are loaded down with lusts. Who are led away by various lusts. They're weak and they're weak-willed. And there's those who come in like wolves. And they attack them. Brethren, I have to say, I was like one of those before I got born again. This is describing me here. This is my old life right here. This is my unregenerated life. And these people who are creeping into households need to repent and need to be born again or need to be exposed if they're not interested in that. And those who are led away by various lusts need to see that Jesus is warning them and wants them to be saved. It says about these women, it says they're always learning, but they never are able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not that they don't understand the Word of God. They're always learning. They're very knowledgeable of the Word of God. But it says they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now it says that Jannes and Jambres, they resisted Moses. And so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the truth. And it says they'll progress no further. And their folly will be manifest to all. But it's important that we follow careful instruction. As Paul says to Timothy, you have followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions and afflictions which happened to me, what persecutions I endured, and the Lord delivered me out of them all. Now this is a faithful saying from 2 Timothy 2:11. If we die with him, we shall also live with him. There's one way to not be that person. Maybe you only have two or three characteristics in there. I think I have more than that still. We can die to those things. We can come to the Lord Jesus to be free. We can. And you want to know something? If we endure, after we suffer for a while, our victory will come. Our change will come. It says we'll reign with him. These are the overcomers, brethren, if we endure. If we deny him, brethren, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, which happens to us many times, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. We need to repent of our faithlessness and become faithful. The Lord is looking for such to serve him. Hypocrisy is a dangerous trait found in religious people who know the word. And it's important for us that we recognize it in ourselves. And that we don't try to pretend to be more holy than anyone else, but that we're honest before the Lord. And that we ask the Lord to change us and deliver us from every lawless deed. Because that's why he came. Not to condemn us, but that we might be saved. That all should come to repentance. It's only condemnation when we hide in the darkness and we refuse to face the light. Jesus is shining his light into our hearts. I want to read from 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. I want to start in verse 3. Well, I'll start in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy and we don't lose heart. God isn't finished with us yet. If you're hearing anything from this message, God has not given up on you. He's just exhorting us because he loves us. It's his kindness toward us. Because we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we renounce the hidden things of shame. It's important for us to start to renounce sin. That's how the devil loses hold. We start renouncing sin. And we start calling upon the name of Jesus for help. We renounce the hidden things of shame. And we stop walking in craftiness. And we stop handling the word of God deceitfully. In other words, we start practicing the word of God because we know it. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it's hidden to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe in Jesus, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Brethren, we don't preach ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves bondservants for your sake, or for Jesus' sake. And it's verse 6 that I mainly want to key in on here. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That is a mystery. That God could command light to shine out of darkness. It's interpreted here for us. Who has shone in our hearts? The greatest darkness that I've ever known is my old life. And God spoke one day and he commanded light to shine into my heart. And at a point in time, he commanded the light that was inside of me to shine out of this darkness. And to bring glory into these members. So that now my actions begin to line up with the Word of God in the process of maturing and coming more into obedience to the Word of God. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And brethren, now we are the light of the world. And when people see us, they need to see Jesus. When they see you, they gotta see Jesus. Christian means Christ-like, little anointed ones. Only because of the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. But he said, now you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. Our neighbors, our bosses, our families, our wives, our husbands, our friends, our enemies need to see the face of Jesus Christ shining forth out of our hearts. They need to see the love of Jesus. And this is possible under the new covenant, not under the old. The glory of Moses was fading glory. The glory of Jesus Christ is ever increasing. And brethren, just as stars differ in their brightness, so one brother can differ from another in glory. We need to yield our wills continually to him so that we can be changed. It's in yielding our wills that we deal with hypocrisy. You say, Lord, I don't want to be a hypocrite. change me. Here I am. Work with me. Brethren, I'll finish verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The power of the Holy Ghost is all we need. It's the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in bodily form. The Spirit of the Father and the Son manifested in flesh and dwelling among us. That the excellence of that power may be of God and not of ourselves. And we are able to overcome all kinds of afflictions, all kinds of adversities, all kinds of difficult circumstances, because we're always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Christ might be manifested in this mortal flesh. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So then, brethren, death is working in us, but life in you. We need to yield ourselves to walk the crucified life, so that the Spirit-filled life can flow. The flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. We can't live with both. This is hypocrisy. Only one can be Lord. We can't serve two masters. We can't serve the flesh, the world, and the devil, and all the mammon that's involved in all that, and God. One must be Lord. It's either yielding of our will and doing the will who sent us, or the opposite. God gives us a choice. You get to choose whom you want to serve. But today, I choose to serve the Lord. Let's pray.